Women's Shir, Chavis Halvavas Yair Bitachon, Wednesday afternoon, Chav Zayin Sivan. Okay, so we're learning Chavis Halvavas Yair Bitachon, and we're going to learn a mitzvah and we'll go through the Shar, how to develop the Midah. As we'll see, it's not easy. In the Psicha, his introduction to the Shar, he extols the benefits of Bitachon. Benefit number one is your closeness to Hashem, and he implies, and he just about says, that the closer you are to Hashem, the more chances you have that you'll attain what you desire. Obviously you won't if it's bad for you, but let's say you need a certain amount of schuyot or schusen to break free of the crowd, not to be caught up, let's say, in an economic downturn, or not to be caught up just as a statistic, which is also hashgacha, but it's more of a kloli hashgacha. Not to be part of the shidduch crisis, etc., etc. The more bitachon you have, the more you will stand out, and Hashem will turn His personal attention to you, so to speak, and you won't be part of a kloli thing. That was benefit number one, but it was a spiritual benefit, mind you. The spiritual benefit was that you're close to Hashem, which is the greatest spiritual benefit you can have. The second benefit was that you're liberated. You're not tied to people. You're not afraid of people. You're free to live your own life, develop your own values, because you're not afraid, right? It says in Tillim a few times, Hashem batachni lo yira, maya aseh adam li, maya aseh basar li. If you have to speak up against evil, you're not afraid of getting fired. You're not afraid of being a social outcast, not afraid of what people will talk about you, and in your everyday events. People will talk about you, people will say about you, what will they think, what will they say. So you're not afraid of that, because Hashem is protecting you. That was benefit number two. Benefit number three is you're stress-free, and he will say that as a physical benefit also, of an Olam HaZeh benefit, but as an Olam HaBa benefit, when you're stress-free, You can devote yourself as much time as is practical, obviously, as much time as you can, to doing mitzvahs, to davening, to chesed, because you're not afraid. You're not afraid of what's going to be and what will be and this. And it's also a liberation of sorts. Your mind is free from worry. And then he goes on and he says, you're so free from worry that if you imagine a person with a limitless supply of money, a counterfeiter, or in his days it was an alchemist, whether it was true or not doesn't matter for his purposes, you say, oh, like I say, you know, I don't like my child's school, I'm going to build my own school and hire the best teachers because I have a limitless supply of money. So the alchemist still is. He wants you to realize how wonderful the Talmud is if you develop it. It's not automatic, it doesn't come easy, and that's what the Shar will concern itself with, teaching us how to develop it. But now he's saying there are 10 stresses that this fabulously, it's not just a question of a wealthy person who can create money on demand almost. He has his own stresses. He still needs the materials. If there's a port strike, there's some trouble. So he's worried if the materials will come in. He has to worry about the side effects. He's doing something and there's fumes. There's always anything you do, no matter how wonderful it is, there's always unintended side effects. Only with Hashem is nothing unintended, because Hashem is all-encompassing. He takes everything into Cheshbon. He's still afraid of competition, is number three. Number four is he has a lopsided life. He talks about the inventory. How much cash should he keep liquid? a deal might come up, he needs instant money, liquid. Oh, but if he has too much money, what happens if someone else break into his house and steal his money? So he's nervous about that. So that's another stress he has. Number five is he's afraid of people, he's afraid he can't get too friendly with someone, he'll find out his secret, he'll tell him to the government, or he'll steal the secret from him, or he'll steal the formula, or so he's nervous about that. Number six was it doesn't help you with health, right? Money can't buy you health. Number seven is it doesn't get you food. I mean, it's great. You go to a supermarket and you have a full wallet. But if, as we know, by a shame, if there's a famine or if you need something that you can't get, money doesn't help you. That's number seven. Number eight is he's always on the move because he's afraid of being found out. He can't stay too many nights, too many months, too many years in the same place. So he has that stress. And the Chavetz Chaim is throughout the Sefer mentions excessive travel as something that's very debilitating to the person. It shortens the years of your life, he says. It's not a good thing. And here's one of the places where he says it. He always has to move. Number nine, that was number eight. Number nine, we're up to, and now we'll start learning from the text again. Shabbat Lakimi of the alchemist, Lotala Venu Akimish Lobachriso. When he's in the grave, what are they doing? They're going to put the counterfeiting machine in the grave with him. Right? It's not going to help him, and all of them are not going to get him. It'll help him for 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 11 to 100 in Svansi. But then what? Below Yasik Babola Mazer, Zulas Mazono, gives him money. Right, I've been talking about the circle. They are them, so maybe it saves them from the stress of being dependent on people and money. But what's with all my book? Babuteach Hashem, Yilavenu Gemul Bitchono, his Bitchon in Hashem will be something that he has. Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. Because you live a different life when you have Bitchon. You're much less concerned. You're not concerned with things that you don't have to be concerned about. How to strike the balance of what you do have to be concerned about and take steps to rectify or to avoid, and what is excessive, we'll be learning about. That's a major, major part of learning how to develop bitachon, because there are many gray areas. And even at the end of our learning, there will still be gray areas, because every person will be different. Some person likes the air conditioner turned up high. Some people like to be alone more. Some people are more social animals. They like to be with people. There's no Shulchan Aruch that says, you know, this is how much challah you take, and this is how much bitachon you have to have. So he will devote a perek, and Mitzvah Hashem will get up to there. And it took me years to understand why he wrote that parak, but now I understand it very, very clearly. I'll give it over to you in 10 seconds. You see how lucky you are? Maybe you never would have been bothered by it in the first place. You say, where I'm blue is not that bright. Very obvious why he wrote that parak. He spends a parak telling you the difference in the life of a Baal Bitachon and the difference of the life of a non-Baal Bitachon, because they're going to lead outwardly, superficially, you know, lead the same lives because of the Inyan of Ishtablus, and because everybody's going to get up and they're going to daven and they're going to go to work and they're going to take care of their kids and they're going to, like, I don't know. It's a way to, so A, what's the difference? But it's a wonderful self-check. It's a wonderful, wonderful self-check. Do I have bitachon? Or am I paying lip service to bitachon? Or am I talking bitachon but doing Ishtablus the whole day excessively? So that perek says, I'm stressed, I'm nervous, I get upset when things, well, very upset, when things don't work out the way I want them to. It ruins my relationship at home. I don't have, my friends are scared of me. And then you say, right? Nafala Simon. Maybe I don't have as much bitachon as I think. So he spends a perek with like a self test almost. It could be a little different ways of expressing why he wrote the perek. Maybe he's writing the perek so you should know who to be friends with. If you see someone that's a Baal Bitachon, you want to be friends with them. But it's also a self check. Right now, we could say that if you're walking around stressed, you don't have Bitachon. That is, because that's it, right? He will define Bitachon and Perek Aleph, which we're going to learn soon. Not very soon, but soon. It's three lines, it's four lines, five lines. He says, you know, not the definition of the word, like he knew what the word meant. We spent a lot of time defining the word. Okay, this is an aside. I'm assuming someone just had a baby, they're going to tell me about it. I'm very excited. So let me take the quote. I hung up on him. This better be good news. Mazel tov. Okay. Everybody doing okay? Baruch Hashem. Okay. Can I announce it? Okay. Bye bye. Thank you. Thank you for calling. Thank you. Ruben Cohen had a baby boy.
White had a baby boy.
That's what I say when my wife asks me to die with a child. You know, but then I'm becoming more modern. I also have the child. So if you're stressed, you don't have bitachon. Now, it's okay to not have bitachon, and certainly it's going to take a while to have 100% bitachon. But that's, right now, that could be a litmus test, just to know how you're doing. Yeah?
But wouldn't that be necessarily just your first reaction, and then you could just say, wait a second, I am...
Well, yeah, if you maintain the stress, obviously. If you're at first stressed, and then you say, okay, let me go through the second parak. I know that Hashem is more powerful than anything else in the world, and I know that everything else that happens, if you do what we're going to learn how to do, and you lose the stress, that's wonderful. Okay, so that was number 9, is that the alchemist, the rich person, has to worry about his Olam Haba. The money's not going to get him to Olam Haba. For Asiri, number 10 is very, very modern, almost. It depends what he means. He says the alchemist has bad karma. He's like a weird kind of guy. He's like funny. People look at him weird, and he doesn't work all day, and he has so much money. And what is he doing down there in his basement? Is he a mad scientist? He is stressed because he's not part of society. And the Baal Bitachon is like walks around, smiling, slaps you on the back. Friendly, in a good mood, cheerful. V'asiri shebal hakimiyam yodeya inyono tiyasibas moso. He goes so far as to say, you know, what he's doing will cause his death because people will take it away from him and people will, maybe it's illegal. Maybe they'll accuse him of witchcraft. There were those that thought it was true, but it was witchcraft. Umanak hakol yaslit olav misha yimisei. Sheni odel halim esodo. But the madeach Hashem kasher yivoda bitchono. The people say, "What's this guy's secret? Maybe he's like, right? Why is he always in a good mood? Like you're very we're very suspicious that people are always in a good mood." Like, it looks like he just ate the canary. You know, this guy looks like he just ate the canary. He's in a good mood. And like, if we see someone in a good mood, children are in a good mood. Except if we mess them up. And they're naturally in a good mood. You say, yeah, he's a child. What does he know? He doesn't have any bills to pay. He doesn't have any responsibilities. Of course he's in a good mood. But it's really not true. it's the natural state of a person is to be in a good mood, especially if you want Sharon Chima and you develop a sense of Hashem, so you do be in a good mood always, as the Chavis Olamos will say, Sharon Bitacha. We will learn that Yibusimcha, but that will be a benefit. That will be a benefit that we'll learn about as a physical benefit in Olam Hazeh, that you'll always be in a good mood. Here he's just saying if people know Yad Bitacha, Yidgo, Beni Abrios, people will look up to him. He won't be strange and funny and have people run away from him. But the Chavduhu Bnei Adam, the Yisborchu B'Kervosu B'Riyoso, they will feel blessed to be in his presence. Maybe something will rub off on them. The Yid Gorim with Takonas Iro, and who knows, he could become a role model for people. The alchemist isn't becoming a role model for anyone. The Lidchos HaPagon, the Al-Anche Makomo, and he could be the cause of saving the city from things because they learned from him about the Dachon. And any Kamoshe Kozu, the Tzadik Yisol Olam, Uchirin Lok Tzoar, that is an amazing throwaway line he throws in there. I'm not going to go into it. Any Pashtus you learn, Lot saved Tzoar. He saved Tzoar because he got Hashem, and Hashem wanted to save Lot, so he saved Tzoar because he ran to Tzoar. Well, he was supposed to run to Tzoar. But the one that's using it as an example, how a person could save the city, but he, in terms of Bitachon, he means that he will be a role model. Kuponim, okay, this finishes benefit number three. We're going to move on. Benefit number three was that you're stress-free and you're freed to serve Hashem. You're freed in your avodas Hashem. You don't say, I have no time for anything. I have to take care of this. I have to take care of that. If you don't have time, you don't have time. We're talking about stress. We're talking about being worried. But if I do this, then how will I this? And then he went through a list of the person he considered, that we would consider the most stress-free, and he showed you 10 areas in which that person would still be stressed, where the person with bitachon will not have that stress. If you read the Chavis Halovis inside, it's easy to make a mistake and sound like he's guaranteeing you that the Baal Bitachon will never lack food, and the Baal Bitachon will never lack good health, and the Baal Bitachon will never lack friends, and the Baal Bitachon, and so on and so forth. That's not his purpose. It may be true under benefit number one, to the degree that it's possible. But Hashem has a game plan, but it doesn't mean that in benefit number three. In benefit number three, he's saying how Bitachon in Hashem is just totally all encompassing. It leaves no area for stress. It's not like, okay, I'm Bitachon in Hashem, but I'm still worried about that my child should do good in school. No. The only thing you should be, I don't want to use the word stress, maybe stress, the only thing you should be stressed about, you shouldn't be stressed about it, but it should be a concern of yours, is your Bechira. Because your Bechira is not covered by Hashem. Everything in the world is covered by Hashem, except your Bechira. But we're going to learn that it's a very small niche. Because it's only your Bechira. It's all in your mind, in your head. Whether you get to do it is again up to Hashem. You can have great thoughts and you don't get a chance to... The car didn't start. So you had this great idea of doing something, but it didn't work. Right? So he will say that it's like a small, it's the decision itself. Okay, now we're up to benefit number four. Spiritual benefit number four. And now four and five are about money. Because, I don't know if this is because, most of life is money. Be'ez Hashem, it shouldn't be health. So that's the biggie. This is what governs our life. And the Chavis Halovis throughout the Sefer, when he's talking about Olam Hazeh and involvement in Olam Hazeh and being Shakua in Olam Hazeh, he's talking about money. Because that's what governs our lives. Our lives is about putting bread on the table, paying the rent, paying the mortgage, buying things for our children, buying things for ourselves, paying tuition. These are our lives are made of. Money, 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 money. So the next two, and so, but money is spiritually a nisayon. So here I am, he's talking spiritual benefits. So the next two are going to talk about money, and benefit number four is that how the Baal Bitachon relates to money or the lack thereof in their lives, in their spiritual lives, how he will cope, how he or she will cope with having money, which is a tremendous nisayon to ruchnius, and not having money, which is a tremendous nisayon to ruchnius. Umitoelos habitachon b'Hashem b'inyan haTorah in spiritual matters. That's another one. He's up to number four. Ki abotei b'Hashem imu bal mamon. If he has money, he will. He will realize that the money is there for him to disperse and to use properly. Yemayer laholtzi cholbos alokim, whether it's in doing mitzvahs, the cholbos b'nei adam, in helping people, mimamono benefesh chafetza, with a willing heart, v'ruach nedima, and he'll be generous. It won't hurt, because the person who has bitachon is realizing that the money is there because Hashem sent it to him. And if he, Baruch Hashem, has money, he knows what to do with it. He will treat it responsibly. The Neinu Baal Mamon, it saves you from failing in the Nisyonos of Osher. The Neinu Baal Mamon, if he doesn't have money, Luther Neinu Baal Mamon isn't supposed to think. Yira, he will come to realize Kichisaron Hamomon Tova Mitovos Hamokom Olav. Say Hashem, thank you. Thank you that I'm not rich. Thank you that I don't have a penny to spare. Thank you that I have trouble making ends meet. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Why? So the Chavis HaLovus is going to present that when you have money is a tremendous responsibility. And it's very tough to fulfill that responsibility properly. The person knocks on the door, give him 5 shekels. Maybe you should have given him 10 shekels. Maybe you should have given him 50 shekels. Maybe his kid needs an operation and you could have given him 100 shekels. You have to learn a chastaka and ask shilas. If you don't have money, you know, you give the guy 5 shekels and you feel like $1 million. You gave 5 shekels. You can't afford even 5 shekels to give him, you know. You don't have that heavy-duty responsibility of figuring out how to make sure that you're acting with the money the way you're supposed to be acting. This is really a more general idea that the Baal Bitachon is happy with any situation Hashem sends him. He focuses on money. Because as I say, that really is Olam Hazeh. Excuse me, I'm sorry. The Neinu Baal Mamon Yira Kichisaron Hamamon Tova Mitovos Hamokom Olav Mipnei Shenestalku Olam Hacholos. His responsibility, Shehu Chayev Bohem Lelokim B'Livnei Odom Ba'avuro. It sets on you a very heavy responsibility. Money, and if you don't have it, you don't have that responsibility. And umiyo tirdas libo b'shmiroso v'anogoso. In other words, he counts his blessings, right? When you have money, you're worried about your investment portfolio, if you keep it in the bank, what you should do with the money. This is really part of, I guess, number three, which is the stress of, at which disturbs your avodas Hashem, but here he's focused on money. There's an apocryphal story. He said, "Amokim yatzileini." He used to daven, Hashem should save me mi pizur hanefesh, from being all over the place, from being scattered all over the place. So they asked him, "Amar lo mao pizur hanefesh?" Omar Shirley-Lumman, I have money, I have stocks, I have bonds, I gotta get up when the stock market opens in Japan, I gotta stay up till it closes in Australia, and I have to worry about the real estate holdings, and these holdings, and those holdings, and that's Mufuzar, Shiela, Mama Barosh Kol Nahar, I have money all over Barosh Kol Kir, so we'll be reading and singing, oh Hashem, please punish me with this. But it's not true. Most people, all too many people failed in the soil of Osher of having money. So this is a serious thing. Thank you, Hashem. I don't have this in the soil. Huma she'omru zechonum lefrocha mar ben chosim, mar ben darba. Va'omru ezeo Osher ha'sumeach b'chelko. Because the other person is not necessarily an Osher if he doesn't enjoy it and it just makes him nervous and he's worried about it. And he's worried if he's investing it properly and what he should do with it and will it lose its value. But Boteach Hashem, Yasik Toelas Hamoman, he'll use the money for Tzolomo Parnasoso. He'll use it in the measure that he's supposed to. He'll have his Parnasa. The Timna Mimena Tirdas Amachshava Shal Baal Hamoman. We're talking about the person that only make ends meet or even less. But he won't have the Tirdas Amachshava of a rich person. The hasmodas, the agosel, although that he's always worried. K'mo shomer achacham, mesuka shnasa oveid. A day laborer sleeps well. You know, it's not his business. He goes home, he picks up his check. He goes home, he can sleep. He's not concerned about the company. The etzem, it's not his company. You know, he just gets paid for doing a job. If he does the job the way he's supposed to, of course. Imad b'marbe yochal v'hasoba l'osher. Right? What he was talking about. The usher is the workaholic. The usher is always nervous what's going to be with the business. Is always. Is always nervous where the next investor is going to come from. So we think of him as the boss. He's the luckiest guy in the company. He's the only one that can't get fired. But he has the most stress. He's the one that's taking ulcer pills. And Masuka Shnasove. Of course, if you don't have bitachon, it's not going to be Masuka Shnasove. Talking about the benefits of bitachon. You know, if you're always nervous, you get fired. You're always nervous that you don't make enough money. And it's a constant source of stress. So then, it's a problem. And he's saying that benefit number four is that you'll have a kosher attitude towards money. If you have money, you'll have a kosher attitude, and if you don't have money, you'll have a kosher attitude. That's how he splits it up.
Rod?
Yeah.
Is your question? I mean, I don't know. In my mind, I don't think any person would like to be struggling to pay their bills. But if a person has supposed to have these home things, he's supposed to have the highest chance of things working out. Should it be the exception that a person with bitachon would be struggling to pay their bills? I mean,
hopefully, but that's not his point here. We can't expand this into like the whole ball of bitachon and how it affects a person's life. Benefit number four is that he has a kosher attitude towards money. That's benefit number four. Money governs our lives. We're always thinking about money. We're always worried about money. We're always thinking we have too little money. We're always thinking where the next dollar will come from. It's a huge part of our lives. And huge is probably an understatement, right? It's the elephant in the room. Money is. He's saying about benefit number four in Ruchnius. If once you develop bitachon, again, this is the benefit of bitachon. Once you develop bitachon, you will have a good, healthy, spiritually healthy attitude, whether you have money or you don't have money, or if you have just enough money, or too little money, or too much money. It's the equivalent of saying that benefit number four is. And he will say that later as a physical benefit. But here he's talking more of a hashkafas, he's calling it a spiritual benefit. But he will soon say that no matter what happens in my life, I'm going to keep smiling. I'm going to be in a good mood. He calls that a physical benefit. It's the same idea. that a Baal Bitachon is living with Hashem. Well, here he's more specific. A Baal Bitachon overcomes the nisyonos of money. If he has too much money, if he has a lot, enough money, a lot of money, he by nature will not be a stingy person. He might have tendencies, but he will realize it's not really his money. Because that's the way the Baal Bitachon works. That it's not me, it's Hashem. So why is Hashem giving me this money? Is it because I'm such a good person, or because he wants me to distribute it to others who need it? And if he doesn't have money, or doesn't have enough money, or doesn't have, he will have a healthy attitude for it. And it's just fascinating that the Chavis HaLavos says, like, the first thing is, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, I'm happy, I don't have the responsibility of having money. You see, we don't think of it as a responsibility, we think of it as a very geschmacka thing to have. And we all pray for it, and we all want it, and we all think of it as a want. But Chavis HaLavos is taking... You're all wonderful people, but you know, we don't really lead. Chazal is like looking at it from the perspective of a spiritual person, a person who's put in this world. Think of a person who's put in this world, and he knows that his time here is limited, and that the main event of his life is Olam Haba, and that's forever and ever and ever and ever. And here he's for a couple of years, which will determine his whole nitzchias. So the Chavis HaLavos is not strange when he says, I don't have the responsibility of having money and messing up. That's the person's, like, first thought. That's the first thought. Thank you, Hashem. I don't have that nisayon. I don't have that responsibility. We don't, we look at it like a little strange, but that's because we're concerned with bills and with paying bills, and with... But these are all very transient things. So he says, you know, the Baal Bitachon, again, we're going to learn how to develop Bitachon. Now he's just advertising. But now he just wants to catch your eye, catch your interest, pique your interest. The Baal Bitachon will deal with money the way it's supposed to be dealt with, whether he has money or he doesn't have money. If he doesn't have money, his first thought is, well, thank you, Hashem, I don't have that nisayon. I don't have that nisayon, so I can't mess up. I have, you know, a person whose station in life is limited. Right, he's like, I want to be a big Rosh Hashim. So, yeah, I'll talk from a man's perspective, and we'll talk about even Ruchniyistic about this. I want to have hundreds of Talmidim, thousands of Talmidim. Yeah, that's a tremendous achrayus. You know, somewhere along the line you're going to embarrass someone. Somewhere along the line you're going to turn someone off of Torah. You're going to turn someone off of Yiddishkeit. Somewhere along the line you're going to get angry. Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. Right? And we ain't Moshe Rabbeinus. When you got angry, you have to deal with a clown. So a person, you know, it's counterintuitive to us. But this is why we're learning. I was halavas. You know, a guy says, I can stay in Kollel, and I'm able to stay in Kollel. But I want to become a Rebbe, and he tries out for the job, and he doesn't get the job. Chavis HaLavos wants the person to say, well, Hashem, it's a big achrayus to be a Rebbe. First of all, every day, I'm in danger of being oiv gneiva. If I don't work properly for the 8 hours, 7 hours I'm in front of the class. At night, and if I'm tired, I messed up. If I get angry at a boy, I messed up. If I embarrass a boy, I messed up. If I don't teach the Gemara clearly, if I don't care about every student, I mess up. Anyway, yeah, Baruch Hashem, I didn't get the job. I just go back and sit with my chavrus on the shtender, and you know, glick with the life. It sounds funny to us, but that's how we should think. Now, and if he gets the job, she says, should he say, I quit? No, he should welcome it and say, wow, now I have an opportunity to be Marbitz Torah. The point is, what does it have to do with Bitachon? It has to do with Bitachon to realize that we're really passive in what happens in our lives. Hashem is determining what happens in our lives. Hashem is determining if you get the job or if you don't get the job.
to share with you something personal. This is on my mind now because my son in America is going for a probe to be a Rebbe on Monday. So he's all nervous and he's preparing and he, help. I said, don't ask me, I was never a Rebbe. Don't ask me, how do I discipline the kids? I don't know. My Rebbe had a stick in the corner. And we just had to look at the stick and we were disciplined. So that's really the if you want to like really get to the kishkas of the point, is that Baal Bitachon sees everything as happening from Hashem. And he realizes the good that's in it. That's really what lies here. That he couches it in terms of money, as I say, but that's really the most encompassing thing. And if things sound funny to us, it's because we don't, if we ever get to learn Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh, where he teaches us what to think about all day. Because he was before there were iPods. So, you gotta think. So, and he gives, and the perek, one perek there gives you 30 things to think about. And it's like, who thinks about these things? But Chayyolov is a serious, a very, very practical fellow, Chayyolov. He's not a malach, he's not talking, very practically, but yeah, practical means, if you say what's practical, the 80, 90, 100, 120 years we spend here versus Nitzchius with the Ribono Shel Olam, as they say, what's practical? Right? The practical is to worry about all of my ball, and practical is to realize that the world is transient, and practical is to realize that you take from this world what you need and not what you want, and you should limit yourself to what you need, and every step you take brings you either closer to Hashem or further from Hashem. That's what we learned in Shaar Avodas Elokim. Nothing is neutral, Chaim Salvador says. He has like a little debate with himself there in Shaar Avodas Elokim. Are there neutral things or not? And he ends up, nothing's really neutral. Things might not be mutter or usur, but they're not neutral. And he explained, they're either a step closer to Hashem for any number of reasons. You exercise self-control, or you went out of your way to do something, or your intentions were good, or you made a bracha with more kavana, anything. Either closer to Hashem or further from Hashem. Anyway, the point of benefit number four, I believe, is to realize that we're not really, we accept it's Hashem. Hashem has decided what should happen to me. I have money or I don't have money. And I deal with each one in the right way if I'm a Baal Bitachon. If I have money, I say, Hashem gave me the money for a purpose. It's not my money. I don't have a sense of proprietorship on the money. Because the Baal Bitachon knows it's not Kochi Votzim Yodi. It's not my money, really. That's like already a leap. Right? If it's my money, why should I give it to you? If I have $100 in the bank, why should I give you 10 and now only have 90? But if it's Hashem's money, and he said there's a mitzvah tzedakah, so no sweat. And if I don't have money, so the first thing is I'm relieved that I don't have depression. And then I am happy that I don't have to worry about my portfolio. And I could lead a simple life, and maybe I'm better off spending time and effort and kochos and energy to make ends meet than time and kochos and energy to work my portfolio. Work my portfolio. Better off. Okay, that was benefit number four. Benefit number five is like a little similar, but maybe I said it over even more. Well, let me rephrase. Benefit number four is that the Baal Bitachon will use money as a kli for Avodas Hashem. Either he'll use money as a kli, or he'll use the lack of money as a kli for Avodas Hashem. Right? If he has money, he'll use it as a kli because he'll get stuck on, he'll realize it's Hashem's money. And he'll spend the money happily on mitzvahs and chesed and stuck up. And if he doesn't have money, he'll be Sumeach Mechelko, and he'll feel thankful to Hashem for sparing him the Nisayon. He'll use money as a kli for Avodas Hashem. Because number five is somewhat similar. Number five is that he won't allow money to prevent his having bitachon. That's specific, more focused. Normally, money is the greatest, very difficult. Kochi votes from Yodi, you look down on other people, you have money, you can do what you want, and you develop your ego very nicely when you have enough money, plenty of money, an excess of money, and you start to think, and this is what the Torah says. The Torah understands people's psychology better than we do, better than psychologists do. And the Torah says, Vayishman Yeshurun Vayiva. What happens is you end up thinking it's you, if you're successful. So the Baal Bitochon will not let money prevent him from having Bitochon. Umehen ki habuteach. So I would call number four that the Baal Bitochon will use money, or the lack thereof, as a kli for Avodas Hashem. And number five is ki habuteach b'Hashem lo yimna'enu rav hamomun b'ptoach b'Hashem. It won't prevent them from having bitachon, which all too often it does, because of kol chivotz and yadi. Mipnei she'enu somech al hamomun, because he's really not relying on the money. V'hu be'enuv kepikadon, suva, he was commanded, l'shtamesh bo, al ponim miyuchadim, u'v'inyonim miyuchadim, l'zman kotzuf. He was told how to use the money, what to do with the money. V'im yasmit kiyumo eslo, and if he keeps on having money, lo yivad ba'avuro, that's literally v'yishman yeshurun v'yivot, v'lo yizkor tovoso l'mishetziva losis lo mimenu, he won't demand hakoros hatov. Very interesting phrase he says here. He won't demand hakoros hatov from someone he's doing a chesed to, or someone that he is, that he gives sukkah to. He won't demand hakaras hatov. He won't expect hakaras hatov, which is very important, because this way you won't be disappointed when you don't get it. And this is true about children too, especially married children. I don't expect. My wife and I have to keep reminding ourselves of this. Anybody heard of Rebbe Zin Goldberg from Muncie? Olah Shalom. Anybody here? My wife just told me last night something that she said when she was very, very ill. Our children were bound up. My wife said, my wife was very friendly with our children. She was in Muncie, very, I don't call her a tzaddikas, but she was a very, very, very special person, as was her husband, Goldberg. So my wife just told me last night, because of different things going on in the house, she said that she told her children, like what's the tzava? You know, what's the one piece of advice? Yeah, you're waiting for that one piece of advice that's going to get you into all my blood. You know? Then never expect hakaras hatov from anyone you do a favor for. Mm-hmm. Don't expect it. Mm-hmm. Don't, because it's going to ruin your life. I just told me this yesterday. Don't expect hakaras hatov. Certainly don't demand it, and don't expect it. You do what you do, and you're doing it because it's right, because you want to do it. You're a giving person, or you should do it, you have to do it, but don't expect the curse at all. And of course, if you don't expect the curse at all, you'll never be disappointed. Anyway, the Chavis HaLovus makes a point of that here. He says, "Hello, Yizkor Tovoso L'mishetziva Losis Lo Mimenu." You won't expect. That's what it means. He won't expect, of course, I told him, he won't demand indebtedness from someone he shares his money with. He won't expect or demand a thank you, certainly praise. He won't even ask for a plaque. So the minhag is to make a plaque. But not as this is part of it. You know, you want to name something after somebody, so you give money, so okay. You know, that's what you're giving the money for. You're doing a legal admission with someone, so you're giving it a name. But that's not the same as, you know, you don't see this too often. It doesn't demand a thank you, or a dinner, or a write up in the press, or whatever. Avul Humoda Laboro, he thanks Hashem, Asher Samo Siva Latovasa, that he made him enabling to help people. Thank you, Hashem, for enabling me to help people. So, that's again. Number four was using money or the lack thereof as a kli fa'avodas Hashem. Number five is that money or the lack thereof won't stop you from having bitachon, won't stop you from being resentful to Hashem. If you have bitachon, if you have the money, you won't violate vayishman yeshur and vayibot. You won't demand thanks. You'll always realize that Hashem is using you as a channel, and you're thankful for that. Like, wow, thank you, Hashem. Look at these chusim you gave me. Then yovan amomen mimenu, and then one day you lose the money. It happens. He's talking about malachim, not about people. And maybe he is, but you will know when we learn how to develop bitachon. And then when we develop bitachon, you look back on this and say, yeah, I can do that. If you talk to develop bitachon. Right now it's like really sort of like a pie in the sky because we didn't learn yet how to develop bitachon. So we don't really, we're not there yet. So we read these things, they're like not human. If you lose the money, lo yidak, he won't worry. Lo ye'ovel lechesrono. That's amazing. He won't, ye'ovel means to mourn. He won't mourn its loss. Which is really, you're not supposed to mourn. You're not supposed to mourn loss of money. You're not supposed to mourn anything, except the Torah demanded avelus when we have certain types of losses as a sign of respect. But theoretically, Achubodel Elokov, we can't, he thanks Hashem, the kachto pigdono meito kasher hodo benesino solo. That's Hashem nosam, Hashem lokach. Hashem gave it to me, Hashem's taking it away from me. You don't have time. Someone takes away a pikadon from you, so you don't have tainus. They gave it to you, and now they're taking it away from you. These are all tremendous spiritual benefits. Next time, I'm not saying it over well. A tremendous, tremendous spiritual benefits of having bitachon is when things are not going right. When things are going right, you won't be boeit. You won't fall in love with yourself. You won't think it's you, and you won't be condescending to other people. And if things are not going well, if you don't have money, you won't worry. You will be happy. You will thank Hashem. You will say, Hashem, it's yours. You gave it to me. I thank you for that. Now you took it away from me. The Yismach Bechelko, you'll develop the Midot Sameach Bechelko of your Baal Bitachon. Because, again, you're keenly aware that Hashem did it, and that Hashem is good, and Hashem is doing it, and that Hashem is mativ. And so you will develop your Sameach Bechelko, the Einam of Vakesh Hegezik Zulasa. Because when you lose money, you already want to know whose fault it is. Who gave me that stock market tip and then the stock crashed the next day? Who didn't want to hire me? Who messed me up? Who stole the job from me? Einam of Vakesh has a gloss. It sounds like a funny thing to say, but if you ever see people that are in a bad situation, they want to know who to kill first. Stay out of their way. Einam of Vakesh has a gloss. They're not looking for whose fault it is, because it's Hashem's fault, so to speak. It's Hashem. Lo yachmon adam b'mamono, he won't be jealous of others. Kimo shomer achocham tzadik ochel l'sov menachshe. B'kitza, he's able to cope. And this is a spiritual benefit because he doesn't let He doesn't let, it's almost like four and five, a lot of trouble. Number four is he will use the money or lack thereof as a kli for avodas Hashem. And number five is he won't let having money or the lack thereof keep him from avodas Hashem. He won't let it keep him from bitachon. If he has money, he'll realize it's a pikado. He won't demand hakaras atol or indebtedness. And the mela also, if he has less money, then he'll cope with it. He won't blame his partner. He won't blame his boss. He won't be jealous of others. He will, he's not obsessed with what happened. He'll get on with his life because he has bitachon and he knows this is what Hashem has chosen for him at this point in time. So he doesn't let it ruin his life. So this is the benefit of bitachon. Okay, now next week we'll start with the spiritual benefits, with the physical Olam Hazeh benefits of bitachon. Yeah.
What was the name of the book that you said there's 30 practical things to think about the Bacharon?
That's a shar in Chovos Halvavos. It's in Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh. Perek Gimel. Yeah, I once did a summary.
Yeah.
It was way too fast. It was like each idea there is like a whole world. But it shows you, you know, these are 30 things you're supposed to think about. Like, we don't recognize any of them. But I'm thinking, you know, we're thinking about our lives. We're thinking about what to make for supper. I'm thinking about how I'm going to get home tonight. You know, that's what we're thinking about. Okay.
Thank you.